Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we hold our annual Toten Fest service that remembers our members that have passed away in the last year. It is a special time for those families and our church family. We'll talk about being thankful for our church family. 38 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used to show us that we need each other. I love this definition of one another. You use one another to indicate that each member of a group does something to or for the other members. We are told to love one another, forgive one another, care for one another, pray for one another, and serve one another. We'll be looking at Romans 12 and 1 Thessalonians 4 to see how important church families are to each one of us. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul is writing about people grieving the loss of a loved one who was a Christian. He says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus knew the power of the one another principle. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, and by this everyone will know you are my disciples. Love is most powerful when it is shared with someone. May you be blessed this week by God's love and grace in your life, and thank you for listening.
Open our lips.
Our senior choir sings Bless This House.
Bless this house, O Lord, we pray.
Our scriptures are read by Becky Snyder, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Two Stories of Gratitude.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Today's first lesson comes from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Here ends the first lesson. Our second lesson is also in Psalms, chapter 136, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you, choir. Beautiful song. Great time of the year, as I've said probably every year as we approach this time. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It means family, a lot of special memories. We go down to my dad's side of the family. We'll head down there the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We spent a couple Thanksgivings at my mom's side of the family, had good times there as well. So Thanksgiving has always been a special time. My wife will go to her side of the family up at Macon. And so Thanksgiving is about family. When you look up the history of Thanksgiving, we know kind of the story about the pilgrims and the Indians and celebrating the ones from the Mayflower that first Thanksgiving. But one thing I didn't know when I was researching this and looking it up, that the state of Virginia, they think they had the first Thanksgiving a couple years earlier. The first one was the one that we all read about in October of 1621 in Massachusetts, but the one that Virginia claims was in 1619 by English sailors who just landed at Berkeley Hundred aboard the ship Margaret. So there's been kind of this conflict about who had the very first Thanksgiving. It didn't take too long, though, for Thanksgiving to be part of our tradition. George Washington made a proclamation first year of his presidency, 1789. Interestingly enough, Thomas Jefferson chose not to observe the holiday. For whatever reason, Thomas Jefferson didn't think it was something to be celebrated. But then periodically, off and on until the time of Abraham Lincoln, he made a proclamation that the fourth Thursday should be the day that we have a time of Thanksgiving. And he did it to implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation. And so he declared it the last Thursday in November. And then on Ulysses S. Grant in 1870, he signed a law into act. Interestingly enough, Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to move it to the third Thursday of November back in 1939 to 1941. Do you remember that, Abe? Do you remember that time at all? Okay, I just wanted to know if I needed to find it. But there was significant controversy there. And then in 1942, they moved it back to the way that it was, and it was signed in. And from then on, it's been the fourth Thursday of November. But it's good to have a time that we focus on Thanksgiving, because, you know, it's easy to get negative. It's easy to concentrate on things that bother us. And I've had a thing that's bothered me since November 1st. If I'm riding in the car, I channel surf. I channel surf our TV at home. Betty hates that if she was in here, but she's not. I don't like commercials, and so I watch about four or five things usually at a time, it seems like, to her. But on the radio, the same thing. If the song's not good, I just keep moving. There's one station on the radio right now, I will not name it because I don't want you tempted to go there and listen to it. They have been playing Christmas music since November 1st. I think that's evil, all right? I think that's evil beyond all things, all right? I think Christmas music should be played the first day after Thanksgiving until Christmas. You can go after Christmas if you want to a few days. That's fine with me. I love Christmas music. I mean, I'm all about Christmas music, but I don't want to hear it November 1st, and it irritates me. I'll go to that channel, I hear a song, and I go, oh, I like that. No, I don't. No, I don't. And I'll just move on because it's not that time yet. But you know that we have people. And you know, we have people that are just kind of negative. We all have people in our lives that no matter if you meet them, you know, the day could be sunny and great, but it'd be too cold or it's too warm. And that's just way for us to do sometimes. It looks like many of us, or some of us at times, are looking at life through a dark and dirty glasses because we see everything kind of a negative point of view. But when we come into this time of year, it's important for us to remember it's just not a one-time event. But gratitude is an attitude of intentional thankfulness, and it must be an integral part of our daily lives, and that we need to be something every day that we focus on being thankful and for being grateful. And in our bulletin, there's an area for you to write down some different scriptures. I'm going to give some of those here in just a little bit. But I want to concentrate on two stories this morning, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. They both deal with people that were suffering from leprosy. And back in that day, leprosy was something that was something that would separate you from society. You would never feel the touch or an embrace from a family member again if you had leprosy in your life. There was no cure for it. If you've ever watched the movie Ben-Hur or seen the movie Braveheart, they have characters in there that are suffering from leprosy. It would deform your skin and your face and your extremities. It would kill the nerve endings on your fingers and parts of your body. So if you got a cut or a wound, you wouldn't notice it for a while, and it would get infected and your skin would start to drop off, and eventually you would die. And so they would segment people and send them off all by themselves. We're going to look at these two stories this morning very quickly and see two men that recognized the very difficult circumstances to be brought to gratitude and thankfulness to God. The first one is in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's the story of Naaman. He was a great commander of an enemy army of Israel. He was a powerful man. He was a good-looking man. He was an impressive man. But one day he woke up with the dreaded news that he had leprosy. And he had heard that there was a prophet in Israel, an enemy of theirs, that could cure him. And so he got approval from his commander, and he took with him all kinds of gifts, all kinds of money, all kinds of presents to impress the king of Israel so he could finally meet Elisha. He shows up at Elisha's house asking for Elisha to bless him. And that's where we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman shows up at Elisha's house, and he does not get the reception that he thought he would. That happens a lot sometimes when we approach God, don't we? We kind of have our own expectation of how God should handle the situation, and when he doesn't respond the way that we want, we will get angry with him. Naaman's just like us. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, when he showed up at this great prophet's house, Elisha didn't go to the door. He sent one of his servants to go meet this great commander, and he gave him this message: go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Because I'm a special man. I'm an important man. I deserve respect. That's Russ's paraphrase. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Probably not as upset as I am about Christmas music in November, but he was upset. Verse 13, okay, Jess is with me. All right, there you go. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. The Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant. We see Naaman was one that was not going to show gratitude. He expected God to do something else in his life except for this simple thing, to just go into the Jordan River. There's better rivers in his home country. Why would I want to go to this foreign country and do something that sounds so simple? If you read the rest of the story, you will see that Naaman even comes back and says, hey, I'm going to have to go back to my society. I'm a believer in God now, but there's going to be times that I'm going to have to bow down to the God of our country. Please forgive me when that happens. We see Elisha sends him off and sends him off well. But we see that through their circumstances, through his time of what it meant to be separated from God, that it meant to be separated from his family and from his people, that God gave him a simple command to go dip himself in the Jordan River 7 times to be cleansed. We see the second story in Luke chapter 17. Another story about lepers. We see 10 lepers in this one. I've always wanted to look at this one because I've always wondered If Jesus was a little bit hard on the other nine lepers, when you turn over to Luke chapter 17, we see that it's a short story. It's the only gospel message that has the story of the 10 lepers. And it says that Jesus went on his way to Jerusalem. He traveled along between the border of Samaria and Galilee. That should kind of bring up our radar a little bit because we know the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus uses the Samaritans to kind of embarrass the Jewish people about their lack of faith and their lack of response to God. This is another instance when it happens. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." If you've ever seen Ben-Hur, you know what leprosy meant. It meant that they were separated into their own community. When they walked into public places, they had to announce to everybody around them their shame and their disease. A couple years ago, we kind of had that a little bit with COVID, didn't we? We'd all be separated. You know, we had to be secluded. People would have to know, so we'd have to inform everybody of our sickness, so then everybody would know to stay away. This was a more permanent situation. They were away. They had to announce. They had to yell it. How did they know Jesus was the one? In Luke chapter 5, you see the story of Jesus healing the one leper. Jesus actually touches him. That would have been awful in the society for him to actually touch someone that had leprosy, but he healed him. And he told the man not to tell anybody, but the man went out and told everybody. And so that's probably how these buddies of his found out. You know, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have TikTok. They didn't have a find friend on your cell phone to see where your loved ones were at. They had to go from community to community, listen to the street to see, where is Jesus now? Because this was the only chance they had. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. See, the priest was more than just a religious figure. He was a health director figure. And we understand that. We have a county health director here. You have to go there. We get our COVID stuff there. We get other things and a lot of things done. But they were kind of the final say on if you could get back into society. Jesus is sending them. And on their way, because of their simple response, they didn't respond like Naaman. They didn't get mad and say, "Well, why didn't he wave his hand? He touched my buddy." He said, "Well, we're going to do it anyway." So they obeyed. And as they went, they looked at their hands. They looked at each other and noticed their leprosy was gone. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are all the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I've always wondered maybe a little bit. Maybe the other 9 were saying, "Hey, Jesus told me to go to the priest. I'm going to go to the priest. Then I'll come back." I don't know if that happened or not, but this one was so overcome with gratitude and thankfulness, he said, "Hey, the priest can wait. I'm going back to the man that's healed me." And he fell down at his feet and he thanked him and he praised him and he praised God for the great blessing that he had. Maybe the other ones were too busy. Maybe they had family and friends, or maybe they wanted to have a cup of coffee at their local watering hole so they could sit and re-enter society, get back to the business. They had other things that then they would go back and thank Jesus at a later time. What's some lessons that we can learn from both of these stories? True thanksgiving requires personal recognition of God. We got to thank God for the blessings that he gives us. The 9 guys got blessed. They got a healing for a lifetime. One person got the blessing of knowing Jesus. How many of us receive God's blessings, but we don't know Jesus? True thanksgiving requires personal recognition of God. Elijah went back to the man that he was angry with. He went back in humility. He went back with a thankfulness. We see the leper fall at his feet, but we see Naaman bring his gifts back and says, "Hey, I want to give you all these things for the great things that you've done for me." Number 2, it's easy to let the things of life interfere with our gratitude to God, isn't it? We let the negative things, and man, there's so many things that can be negative. And we've had a lot of loss in our community again. I drive by Bolin's, and it seems like there's at least 1 or 2 names on that board for the last 2 months. Windmill Ridge has been the same way. A lot of deaths have been sudden and accidental, things that we weren't expecting for a long time. Man, how do we find thankfulness in that? But it's easy to let the other things of life, our pursuits, our activities, our priorities, get in the way of giving God the gratitude that he deserves. Number three, true thanksgiving to God brings more blessings of a personal relationship to God. When we give Him true thanksgiving, He returns and He gives back to us. Look what He did with the leper, just like He did with the man that was paralyzed. He saw the faith of the man. He says, your sins have been forgiven. They think the same situation happened here, that this man, because he returned and got to know Jesus, that his sins and his life and his spiritual things were restored with God. When we give true thanksgiving, God blesses that with a renewed and deeper relationship to Him. Number four, true thanksgiving comes from humility and obedience. When we have humility and obedience to Him, the simple command, Naaman, what are you talking about? Going to the Jordan River? You know, send me back to do something great. Come out here and wave your hand so everybody can see that I'm special and that God is going to do something special for me. He told him simple to do. He told the 10 lepers, just go to the priest. They could have had the same thing, saying, hey, I want you to touch me. If they would have done, they would have come back and he would have touched him. But simple obedience and simple humility. We start to learn as we get older, I hope we do, that the world doesn't revolve around us. That our wants, our desires, our preferences are not the most important thing. That happens in the church, that happens in our families, that happens in our workplaces. True thanksgiving comes from humility and obedience when we recognize that God is above and that we are the sheep of His pasture. And then finally, all of us have been blessed, but only a few recognize it and give God praise. How many people that are riding around living their lives, recognizing the blessings of this beautiful day, the blessings of being together as one family in the church, singing songs together, being blessed by our choir and our children's time, the Sunday school time. And we recognize the blessings and the privileges that we have to be with one another. So many people are enjoying those blessings out and about, but they don't come back and recognize God Himself and give Him the praise. Psalm 100 says, to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what's heavy on your heart. There's a lot of things heavy on our hearts. People going through treatments, people suffering with illnesses, people we care about struggling through all kinds of different struggles in their life. But only a few of us, just like the leper, recognize that the source of any blessings that we have comes from God Himself. I told you about a little place that you could write down. This is the time to write down some of those verses. The first one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes there, the great chapter, the great book of joy, but he gives us this verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Too many times I think our praise time, our prayer time is like a laundry list of things that we want. We got to put our time in. We want God to do these things. We put our list in. We're like Santa, you know, giving our list to Santa Claus, making our list and checking it twice. He says, present those things, but with thanksgiving. Maybe the first thing we should say before we pray is just thank you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to communicate. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be called one of your children. The next verse we see is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. He says, Paul writes a simple one there, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many times it's not easy to be thankful in some situations. I don't know how many people attended the funeral for Connor Ernst. I went to it a week ago Wednesday. And the father, Kirby, and his wife got up and Kirby spoke. And he says, it's a terrible thing to lose my son. He said, but we've been blessed through all of this. He said, we have never heard all these stories about our son before until last night and today. All the things, all the people he helped, all the times that he checked on people. He said, I never knew that side of my son until now. And then he says, I have not felt God's presence in my life like this until now because of the prayers of the people out there. It doesn't mean it will be easy. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. But he says, with thanksgiving, give thanks in all circumstances. We read Psalm 100, a beautiful psalm. It's the psalm, my favorite psalm of my father-in-law. We have it on a little sheet hanging in our bathroom to remind us of how important it is. But that last verse tells us, for the Lord is good, His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. And then Psalm 103, just the first few verses, a great psalm for you to write down and read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a couple verses. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The reason why I encourage you to read his word regularly, the reason why I encourage you to be in fellowship regularly, it's easy to forget the benefits of God when we concentrate on the things around us in the world. There's lots of struggles, lots of things that can disappoint us, a lot of things that can hurt us, a lot of things that will not go our way. But when you read Psalm 100, Psalm 103, Psalm 136, I read them multiple times this week getting ready for it. Every time I got done with it, I was uplifted. No matter what my stress level was, no matter what situation, no matter what I felt at the time, it lets us know in Psalm 136 that his love endures forever. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter how many times you've failed or fallen short, or your friends or your family members have fallen short, his love is eternal. It never stops. Until we take that last breath and we leave this world, we walk into eternity, his love is always ready and willing to accept us if we come back to him, just like Naaman, just like the Samaritan leper. So what reasons do we have to be thankful? God's love is for everyone. The two main stars of our stories were not Jewish. Naaman was an enemy, and Samaritan was worse thought of as an animal in Jewish society. God used him to show that his love is for all of us, for people maybe we've even discounted or looked over. God's love is for everyone, including us, no matter how many times we've struggled or fallen short. Jesus knows you, and you are part of his family. If you claimed him as your Savior, you are one of his children. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what any rumor that people spread about you, you are his, and when you come to him, he knows you. Just like the Samaritan leper came right back to Jesus. Jesus said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And then finally, remember the past times in your life that God has put healing in your lives and you've seen him work his great hand of power in your life to walk you through the most difficult times of life. We have all kinds of reasons to be thankful. One writer wrote it this way, 9 lepers received benefits through Christ. 1 received Christ through his benefits. That always impresses me when I read it. But just like Naaman, many times we expect God to do this in our lives. He doesn't match the expectations we have, so we walk away angry. God has given us a simple command to believe in his Son, to believe in the one that he has sent, and obey him. When we do that, we have thankfulness well up in our lives, and we can be thankful and grateful people, not only through the month of November, but through every day of our life. God asks us just to come in humility and obedience. But if you've got some times in your life that you're having a hard time being grateful and thankful for, and you need somebody just to listen and pray with you, let's get together and do that. And let's just make this a time that we come to Jesus' feet and we hear his voice.